Guy's going to tell you a little secret, but you got to promise not to tell your wives. And it's just one of those little things that occurred to me after 40 years of being married, 40 plus years of being married. Women are smarter than we are. Now, don't amen it. I don't like the amen. It's just a fact. It's just one of those facts. And if you argue with it, you're just proving my point. And I'll give you an illustration. I like Mother's Day because Mother's Day is an opportunity, or kind of at least for husbands and wives, it turns into an opportunity for husbands to express our appreciation to our wives for the role that they play and all the sacrifices that they make. And one of the things that we do is, since it comes on a Sunday, we take our wives out to eat, right? And I like Father's Day also, because on Father's Day, we take our wives out to eat. Think about that. And tell me they don't have this thing figured out. I happen to believe that if you want someone to value your disapproval, then you should express your approval when it's deserved. Now, that's worth you thinking about. And I'm saying to us as fathers, that's a principle that you need to incorporate into your fathering. If you want your children to be impressed when you say no, you better try to make a practice of saying yes every time you can. Because if all you ever say is no, and all they ever get from you is disapproval, then for their own survival, they're going to have to learn how to ignore you. And I could probably sit down, and if we would apply that one thing this morning, that would be an incredibly valuable lesson this morning. Some of us have made a practice in our life of just picking faults and criticizing. And for those people around us, in order for them to survive, they have to learn to ignore us. And we don't understand it and we don't like it whenever people do start ignoring us. But maybe we need to look inside and see if maybe perhaps the reason that we're not taken any more seriously than we are is because if you constantly criticize and if you constantly disapprove, then after a while it doesn't have any meaning. And people begin to avoid you for their own self-preservation. And it is in that vein that I'm going to shock a few of you this morning. And I want to express my appreciation to President Obama for his courage this past Sunday morning in addressing a national problem of absentee fatherism. And I don't know if you heard his speech. It's on the web if you'd like to go listen to it. And I haven't listened to all of it, but I've listened to parts of it. And he said, among other things, too many fathers are MIA, missing in action. Too many fathers are AWOL. There's a hole in your heart if you don't have a male figure in the home that can guide you and lead you and set a good example for you. I appreciate him saying that. There are many negative consequences to the blight of absentee fathers. And again, to quote from our president's speech, he said, "We know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crimes, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to end up in prison, and they're likely to have behavioral problems or run away from home or become teenage parents themselves. And the foundations of our community are weaker because of it." I found that I appreciate the fact that he's willing to address that problem. "One of the most rewarding experiences of my life has been the privilege of being a father. One of the most positive benefits of fatherhood is our children's ability to relate to their and our Heavenly Father is to a large degree determined by how well we as fathers do our job. Lots of people, lots of children are growing up today and they don't know how to relate to a father. They don't have a clue. So I want to share with you this morning some qualities of a Christian father. And the first one is loyalty. And by that I mean loyalty to a covenant and a commitment. First of all, loyalty to our wife. You don't have to go back too long to remember the song that the judge sang, "Grandpa, tell me about the good old days." Did lovers really fall in love to stay and stand beside each other, come what may? Promise something people really kept, not just something they would say? Families really bow their heads to pray. Daddies never really go away or really never go away. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. That's an indictment on our society to whatever degree is true that those are the good old days, isn't it? And guys, we get a few things in our life that we don't deserve. I mean, we always see the things that we don't deserve that we feel like are negative, but there are some positive things we've gotten in our life that we don't deserve. And we need to recognize really early that God gave us a gracious gift. If you're a husband and a father, He gave you a wife who said, "I want you to be my man for my whole life. And I want you to be someone that I can respect. And I will follow you as long as we live." You didn't deserve that. I was 20 years old. I certainly didn't deserve that. Three times in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 29, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." The greatest thing that you can do on this earth for your children is to honor your commitments. Honor your promises to love, honor, and treat their mother with respect. And then there's the loyalty to our children. There are lots of things around my house. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things around my house that get lost. We spend a lot of time looking for things that are lost. It used to be keys, and now cell phones. And whenever you have four daughters, as I have, there are lots of barrettes that you look for and hairdos and so forth, you know, and shoes, and there's always things getting lost around the house, and we spend a lot of time discussing where was the last time you saw it, and so forth. Luke chapter 15, Jesus talked about some things that got lost. He talked about a sheep, He talked about a coin, and He talked about a boy. It's a really, really bad thing when a child gets lost. And as I read that story, one of the things that occurs to me, and the reason that that story had such a good, happy ending, is because that boy knew that he could depend on his father's loyalty, didn't he? His father's house, when times got tough, his thoughts went to home, and he wanted to be home. And I find it really interesting, and of course, obviously, God is represented by the father there. But the story doesn't say, and I'm not in any way belittling the role of a mother, but the story doesn't say that he thought about his mama. It said he thought about his father. And I'm not going to make too much of that, because the story obviously is about God's love for us. But I want to make something of it. Because there are so many children today, if they thought about home, it wouldn't be about a father's love. It probably would be about a mother's love, but it wouldn't be about a father's love. And when your children think about your home, particularly as they grow older, do they think about a father's love? Is that what's attractive about your home? Be honest about it. And if it's not, and you still have children at home, you need to do some fast changing. Because your children, regardless of how badly they mess up in life, you want them to always know that they can come home. And you want them to know that you want them to come home. A father is loyal to his commitments and his promises to his wife, to his children. God help us as fathers to be loyal to our wives and our children. And then there's the matter of communication, and that always comes in. And we as men, we just kind of groan when we hear that word. But a father needs to learn to hear and understand the needs of his family, and they don't always come in the front door, do they? In fact, most of the time. I mean, the things that you hear that your children need are probably not the things they really need. And you need to be able to decipher and understand what the real needs are. And guys, we've got to get over this thing of being insecure so that we can't stand for our wife to disagree with us without resorting to intimidation. And we have to learn how to decipher messages that are even expressed in anger. Because you see, the only reason that somebody really gets angry is because they care. Now, I know that that's all twisted up. But when you stop and think, if you don't care enough, it doesn't make you angry. Something makes you angry because it's something that's meaningful to you, that you feel like is wrong. And so even messages that are expressed in anger are messages that we need to be able to translate, and we need to be able to see past the emotion. And whenever our wives disagree with us, guys, maybe, she might be right. And if we can't admit that, then there's something wrong in our relationship. If we always have to be right, and if we always have to press our opinion, and if we resort to belittling someone and intimidating someone into silence, then something's wrong. There is no such thing as non-communication. And by that I mean sometimes we get silent. There is constructive communication and there is destructive communication. But there is no such thing as non-communication. Somebody says, my wife and I are not communicating right now. Wrong. You are communicating. Everything communicates. Your body language, your body movements, how you close doors, the tone of your voice, even silence. And interestingly, of all of the things, all the communication, silence is cruel. And we guys, somehow, we sometimes seem to resort. That seems to be a characteristic of us. And silence is cruel because if you persist in it, it says, I don't care. And I'm not going to deal with it. And the real truth, ladies, may be that I don't know how to deal with this issue. And that's my way of addressing it, by just being silent, because I don't know what to do. Well, guys, if that's the case, learn to say, I don't know how to deal with this. Say it. And then at least you can sit down and talk about this. Husbands, be aware of what communicates. God, help us as fathers and husbands to learn how to communicate constructively with our families. And then there is what I'll call strength in wisdom. It's a really, really neat thing to be in a family where a father is a really wise guy. You know that? Boy, that gives you a leg and an arm up in life. It gives you a real boost in life. Carl Sandburg said of Abraham Lincoln, he is a man made of steel and velvet. Now that's quite a combination, isn't it? You can't beat that. Steel says that he's got backbone. that he's got character, that he has courage. And Velvet says that he can feel, that he can relate, that he's approachable, that he's tender. And do you know where this quality of Velvet comes from in a boy slash man's life? It doesn't come from his daddy. It comes from his mama. At least in most cases. I'm not saying it's all absolute, because sometimes we have some fathers who are more nurturing than mothers are. But mothers, teach your sons and teach your daughters sensitivity. Teach them caring. Teach them feeling. And we live in a society that really puts these things down today. Fathers need to learn how to deal with maturing children. And I'm talking to myself. And I think back about the years of my children as they were growing up. And to be real honest with you, having four daughters, there reaches a point where with the father, there's a little bit of awkwardness here all of a sudden. It wasn't there. And girls, you might need to, maybe this will help you understand some things. When you're little, your dad can reach and roughhouse with you, and that's kind of what we dads are known for, and we can pick you up and put you in our lap, and, you know, we can play with it. But there reaches a point where that becomes a little bit awkward. And it would help, it helps if you understand that some. And you can be creative yourself and learn ways that you can help ease that tension if that tension is there. Young people trying to become independent. That's a hard thing. And sometimes it involves what feels like rejection. And a child says, I hate you. I'm going to leave home. I'm going to run away from home. How many of you fathers, and don't raise your hand, how many of you fathers, either on the father or the son end, had a fist fight with your father at a point in your life? I know bunches of cases. And it's that tension between a father and a son, is there, the son is trying to become a man, and it's hard for the father to let go, and he doesn't know how much slack to give, and the son's jerking all the slack that he can. And it's also true with daughters, but particularly the physical part with fathers and sons. And it feels like all of a sudden that your child is just rejecting everything about you. And then there's the manipulation that comes in. Do you know how to deal with manipulation? If you've got young children, you don't know much about it yet, because you were the manipulator growing up, probably. But you're going to learn some of the other end of it. And the things that you used to say to your parents, like, you don't trust me. Whenever you hear them from your own children, it's different. And you need to learn how to deal with it. We've talked about that before. And just real quickly, again, a little quick refresher course here. When your child says that to you, and I don't mind the kids hearing me say this to you, give you this advice. When they say, you don't trust me, say, you're right, I don't. But don't stop right there. Say, you need to understand, I don't even trust myself in some situations. And because of that, there are some situations I don't allow myself to get into. And so I'm not going to give my approval for you putting yourself in situations that I know are dangerous situations and tempting situations. And so you're right, I don't trust you in that situation, because there are situations in which I don't even trust myself. And then you'll hear, well, everybody's going, or everybody's doing it. And running away from home is a form of manipulation. I don't know how many of you ever seen Bill Cosby's little, I don't know what you call it, a movie or whatever he called it, 49, and he talks about the problems with turning 49 years old. And I laughed till I cried. And he was talking about his son, and his father, his son told him that he was going to leave home. And Bill said, I went over and I picked him up and put him over my head and said, how far do you want to go? Kendra ran away from home one day. And whenever she didn't get the proper response, she kept coming back to get things she had forgotten to put in her little bag. And then after she made a few trips and got all the things that she could think of and still hadn't gotten the kind of response she wanted, she finally reasoned that Santa Claus might not be happy about this, so she'd stay at home. Teenage years are hard years. Now, she wasn't running away when she was a teenager. It was before that, okay? But teenage years are hard years. And I've had lots of parents come to me and say, you know what? I don't even like my child right now. I love them, but I don't like them. And I give them some pretty strange advice. I tell them that's okay. You know why? Because they don't even like themselves. They don't. They act like they do, but they don't even like themselves. And they're really having some struggles in their own lives. They're obnoxious. They're loud. They know everything. They got to have the last word. They quit communicating as far as verbally. You remember the saying, isn't it amazing how much my parents learned after I grew up? Well, when I became a parent, and I guess I'm indicting myself right now, but you know what amazed me as a parent? How much grandparents know about rearing children now that they don't have any. All of a sudden, they know everything again, just like when they were kids. So as a parent, you kind of get caught in between. Everybody knows everything but you, they think. And then just a little aside right here, which is really not an aside. Do you think that we ever treat God that way? We try to manipulate God for our own purposes. We have something we want to do. We know what he tells us to do, but we choose to ignore it and do our own thing. And then we want to try to justify it. And we come up with all kind of reasons. And you know what? There's only one way to clear the air between us and God when we do that. And that is confess that we're wrong. Just like the prodigal son did. How did he clear the air when he came home? He just started it. He had it all made up. Father, you know, I know that I've sinned. And he started it, and his father just interrupted. He knew where it was going to go. But he had to have that attitude to clear the air. And so, Father God, help us to be strong and yet sensitive and wise in dealing with our children and our wives. And then there's vertical authority. That's when a father sets his goal on pleasing God. 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore we have as our ambition to be pleasing to God. And you know what, guys? If you really want to wrap it all up, that's all we must want. That's all we must want. Everything else comes under that heading that we want to please God. And our children will know that. If we truly are. And you tell me that a dad whose life is consumed with knowing God's will and pleasing God and loving his family, and he consistently makes that the primary goal of his life, that such a dad cannot train up a child in the way that he should go, when that's our priority for life. You know why so many children rebel against God's authority? Because the only example of authority that they have witnessed all their life was self-serving and hypocritical. And we talked about authority because it put me in the driver's seat. But whenever we talk about authority and it puts God in the driver's seat, and all of us in our family, we're the passengers on this ride, and we're letting God tell us how to live our lives, then we develop an attitude about authority that's a positive attitude, one that children don't have to rebel against. When your children watch you as the father obey God, even when it hurts, they learn how to live their life. And so God, help us to submit our wills to you as we teach our children to follow us as we follow you. There was a writer named Boswell who had written and lectured on lots of occasions, and there was an incident from his childhood from which he had drawn a number of illustrations and parallels. His father had taken the time out of a really busy schedule one day to take him fishing. And it meant so much to him that even as an adult, when he was lecturing, he used that as an illustration. And then His father died, and one day he was browsing through some of the family things, and he came across his family album, and he found a little diary that his father had kept for a little while, and as he was reading through that diary, he came across the entry that was made that day that his father had taken him fishing, and it only had one entry, and it said, "Fishing trip with my son, wasted day." There's no such thing as a wasted day when you spend it with your family. And fathers, God has entrusted us with His most precious thing on this earth. And there's nothing in this whole world that's more important. And so be a father with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. Wives, mothers, this world is not ideal. And some of you are being forced to try to fill the responsibilities of a mother and a father. And it's not fair. But God bless you. Pray for wisdom. Pray for patience. Pray for understanding from your children. Pray for perseverance. And God will reward you. Happy Father's Day. We have a father that we can model everything in our life after, don't we? And I want to be that kind of father, don't you? And we can help one another in God's family to be that those kind of fathers, those kind of mothers, so that a godly seed will be reared up. Maybe this morning there's a struggle in your life as a father or as a mother or as a child, that you know you're not in step with God's will in your family. And you need the prayers of brothers and sisters. You need God's help in your life to help you change and become the kind of father or mother or child that God wants you to be. And God gives you that opportunity while we stand and sing.